Chapter 27, read to you by Mrs. Barkis. Once night had fallen, I sent Bongo on her next mission. "All you have to do is untie Samara's wish," I instructed. "Oh," she said, "is that all?" Bongo flew to the low branch where Samara had tied her pink dotted fabric scrap. She yanked it on with her beak several times. "Easier said than done," she reported. "You're a crow. Use a tool." Crows are well known for making and using tools. They're probably the brainiest birds around. Bongo poked and considered. "I have a paperclip in my collection. I'll give that a shot." "It'll never work," Agnes predicted from her nest. "I think owls are secretly a bit jealous of crows. One by one, heads poked out of my hollows, as well as the skunk den under the porch, to watch Bongo at work." "What's Bongo doing, Ma?" asked one of the ewes. "It's called tool use," said Big Ewe. "No big deal." "Folks, if you can't say something helpful," I said, "please don't say anything at all." Bongo returned with a small piece of twisted metal. "Straightened paperclip," she explained. "Found it on the school playground." With great effort, she managed to slide the straight end of the paperclip into the knot. But try as she might, she couldn't pull the knot free. "Almost got it," Bongo muttered between her clenched beak. "Why is Bongo doing that?" Harold asked Agnes. "There's no explaining crows," Agnes said. "Because I asked her to," I said, "because it's important to me." With a frustrated groan, Bongo let the paperclip fall to the ground. "It's no use, Red," she said. "Maybe it's time to give up on this idea," I said, with a sigh. "I'm not meant to help. I'm meant to sit here. Just sit." A gentle wind rippled my leaves. No one spoke. "Wait just a minute," said Big Ewe. "Maybe I can lend you a paw." "You're awfully heavy for that branch," Agnes pointed out. "Let her try," I said. Carefully, Big Ewe inched her way out onto the limb where Samara's wish was tied. She was indeed heavy, but my branch bowed under her weight, but I held firm. She toyed with the knot, using both front paws. Before long, she'd pulled the strip free. "Ta-da!" she cried, clutching the fabric in her right paw. "Well, I did the hard part," Bongo sulked. "It was a joint effort," I said. "Teamwork, and much appreciated, both of you." "You have the wish," said Agnes. "Now what, Red?" "Now we wait until Samara comes to visit," I said, "and then Bongo works her magic." Chapter 28. The moon bathed us all in cool blue light as we awaited Samara's nightly visit. She came out in her robe and slippers. Sitting on her blanket, she waited patiently as the baby scrambled over to see her. Around her neck, she was wearing the beribboned key that Bongo had given her. "Where's my crow friend?" she whispered, as the ewes somersaulted in front of her. She looked up into my branches, and I was glad I'd instructed Bongo to hide on Stephen's roof. Right on schedule, Bongo flew to Stephen's bedroom window. She settled on the sill. Samara's fabric scrap dangled in her beak. Carefully, she tapped on Stephen's window. Nothing happened. I'd told Bongo to be as quiet as possible. We didn't want Samara to see what we were up to. Tap, tap, tap. Louder this time. Still nothing. Stephen apparently was quite a sound sleeper. Bongo looked at me. Her eyes said, "Now what?" She tried again. Tap, tap, tap. Samara started. "What was that?" she asked. Fortunately, Harold distracted her with an attempt to fly onto her arm. It was more awkward hop than flight, and Samara giggled. "Good going, little Harold," I thought. Bongo dropped Samara's wish onto the sill. Tap, tap, tap. Nothing. She paced back and forth in front of the window, then she froze. Her eyes glinted in the moonlight. Bongo leaned close to the glass and performed her very best fire engine siren. By the time Stephen's window flew open, Bongo was already back on the roof watching her efforts pay off. Stephen peered out. He rubbed his eyes. He noticed the scrap on his sill. Frowning, he held it up, catching the moonlight in order to read the words written on the fabric. He looked down at the lawn. There was Samar, looking up at him, surrounded by an odd collection of baby animals. "You rock," said Bongo.